to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Sing it unto him now. Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen. Is that your desire? To be a sanctuary for the Lord? If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Daniel 9, and we'll read our scripture, Daniel 9, 20-24. Just pray one for another. Remember, Wade and June is coming back in from Brother Richard's this afternoon, and Ann and Richard's up with their family there, his family at Pigeon Ford, so all of them be traveling back in. So just remember that. I know as many others maybe, you know, traveling around and doing, so just remember to pray one for another that the Lord would give us, a time. Now remember, the Lord willing, what we'll try to do is I want to try to get to the sixfold purpose this afternoon. If I can, then Wednesday we'll try to have questions and answers about the things up to where that we are and, you know, and what we're doing. If not, then I'll continue on trying to bring the message on it. So just remember that. Now, the Lord willing, next weekend, Richard and I'll be up at going up to Brother Joe Pewitt's to hunt for a few days. So we'll be there with Brother Byler in the services on Sunday. So just, you know, remember us there. The Lord would bless us. And now I don't know about Aaron. I don't know. I'll go ahead and make the announcements on that weekend. It'll probably be Wade and Aaron taking services, and then Brother Harris will be taking the Wednesday night service. Following, that's not this coming Wednesday now, next Wednesday, Brother Harris will be taking the service, because Richard and I will be coming back in. I don't want to try to preach after driving for 6 hours or something, or seven, trying to get back home, you know. So that'll be the schedule kind of the events. And also remember now, on December the 18th, we'll be having our Christmas time together. The children will be doing, they're preparing a program for us, and all, and we'll be doing that and be having a kind of a fellowship time together, and their eatings together. All the announcements is down on the bulletin board downstairs for whatever you to bring and what's going to be. And then Brother Richard and them, the Lord willing, will be with us on the watch night service, and we'll be having the watch night service. And then on Sunday, we'll be having one service there, which will be a morning service about 11 o'clock, and then we'll eat later, and that way Brother Richard and them can all get back. And there won't be any service on December the 25th, because that would be Christmas Day, and we will not be having services that time. So, you know, we don't celebrate Christmas, but most everybody wants to be with their families and things, so we will just honor that to not have the service on that. And I hope that the Lord would bless each one of them. I talked to Brother Quinn this morning. I had called him a few weeks ago when he was over in India, and I spoke with him this morning. He called me and said everything went real good. I think he had about 19 people to be baptized, and the church that they're building there is well under construction, you know, and we had sent some money to help do those things. And, you know, that's part of your doings, and all. And the Lord would bless him. He said to greet everybody for him, because that would, you know, he loves to come over here and fellowship with us, and he loves to go out and take the gospel, and I appreciate him for it, you know. Now, so let's just, Daniel 9, let's pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity this morning to be able to come together and to be able to fellowship, because we know this is fast coming to a close and we must prepare our hearts for the time. As Daniel was praying to know when he was going out, we're also praying to want to know, Lord, and be ready for the time to go out of here and leave this and see all this that's falling upon the world around about, that yet you promised it would not fall upon the bride of Jesus Christ. We thank you. And as we read your word and study of these things, Lord, you come on the scene and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel 9. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee that thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter. First of all, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may have to at least turn the fan on, Terrence, but we don't need no heat. Okay, fan's on. All right, got everything to go. I hope I got all the announcements made. Did I miss anything? I generally do and miss something that we need to know, but, you know. Now, I told you that, you know, we would be trying to take just a slow understanding or slow teaching gradually, of the 70 weeks of Daniel. And this is message number 4, so we've already covered 3 services on this. And I pray that the Lord would bless you and give you understanding. If you'll read, you know, what I tell you ahead of time, then you'll be able to understand more, you know, about what we're trying to do and to teach and all. And I hope it'll be instructive to you, because, like I said, most everybody, all their argument is whether it's 3.5 or 7, and you got it split in the message about it, you know, of trying to do this and that, and they don't understand. To me, it's the plan of redemption. And that's the only reason I'm covering it, is to show you how perfect the Word of God is to show the redemption of Israel. All right? See, and once we get out of here in the rapture, God will turn back to Israel and call out 144,000 of the children of Israel and get everything, you know, to going there. But there's no way to understand, the prophet said, Brother Dean and I talking about it last night, that the prophet says there's no way to understand the seals till you understand Daniel 70 weeks. Well, then, see, everybody understands all about the seals. They got it all figured out. They know where everything is at. But they don't never attempt to talk about the 70 weeks of Daniel. Now, I didn't make that statement. Your prophet was the one that made the statement. So then, you know, it's not up to me. If you're not arguing with Brother Dale about something, you say, well, that's not even important to us. Well, just tear out from Revelation 4:1 of your Bible and rip it out over to 19 and just throw that away and, you know, and just forget the whole thing. But to me, the plan of redemption, because if we can see Israel, now we've got a buzz up here or something. Would check the, when I go over this way, they say it gets up a buzz on it, but make sure all of the amps are off and everything, Brother Gary, because I don't know what it started Wednesday night. We noticed it. I'll try to stay over here, and I generally do, but when I got back, I can hear it. Maybe it's one of the lights or something, you know, that's causing a little buzz, and we just didn't want the amplifier systems to have anything to do with it. But to me, when you talk about redemption, and that's what I believe, I believe that there is a sixfold purpose, you know, a sixfold purpose in recorded there in the book of Daniel, and that's to Israel. All right? But But then there is a sixfold revelation, as you want to call it, or six seals that reveal the plan of redemption to the bride. And all of that is after we get out of here. You know, the seals are literally, the opening of the seals are after we get out of here. All right? And the Daniel 70 weeks is, you know, the time of what you're concerned with is after we get out of here. You know? All right? But the prophet had a plenty of time speaking on the, you know, the seals. And he told us the revelation of Jesus Christ from there. And that's what the whole Bible reveals is Christ. All right? So that's what we're trying to study and trying to understand. And Daniel, now, Daniel was concerned because he'd studied Jeremiah and he knew that there was about 2 years left. And he was trying to get ready to leave, you know, to get out. And in trying to get out, then he wanted to know when he'd go out. You say, well, in 2 years, that's what I kept trying to get you to see. He said, well, it was just 2 years to when he would go out. What are we concerned about, you know? Why would he be worried? He wanted to be ready to go. Not to just know where the date was or the time was. He wanted to know because in doing things, God can always see you got, just as a natural story in him. When God says 70 years, well, did he say that exactly? Well, it was April the 14th, you know, so-and-so, and in 70 years, it'd be April the 14th. We'll go out. You know, I mean, what, is it like that? No, because you got overlays and overlaps and backwards and forth. The book of Daniel even covers as a blessing to them that makes it to the 1,300 and something days, and the tribulation is only 1,260, you know, 30 days to the month. All right. See, it's not an abrupt end or start. So then Daniel knew that, and he was concerned, because you could go out any time in that 70th year. So my point was, he wanted to know to be ready for the time and not concerned with the exact date that he wanted to go out. Because that's the way you and I should be. The prophet said, no man can know the day nor the hour. He said, but we could know the week or the month or something like that, or the year. All right? See, in that then, we need to be ready to go more than just to be concerned about when we're going to go. It wouldn't do any good to know that we was going into rapture on April the 1st of this year. See, that's what everybody wants to know. Because that way they can goof off until the last day of May. And then they start praying to get ready to go out the next day. Well, that's not going to work. Now, you know that's true. That's human nature of all of us. Right? But see, that's not true. So he wanted to know and how to get ready to go. Well, that's what we need to know, is how to get ready to go now. All right. But now, just trying to background just a minute to where it'll tie together. But when God came to Gabriel, to Daniel, through the angel Gabriel, he not only revealed to Daniel when he was going out, but he revealed to him the entire journey of Israel, and that's what just put that title to the message today. It'll be message number 4, 70 weeks of Daniel, but the journey of Israel. Right. See, the entire journey of Israel up on earth is revealed to Daniel. Right. See? The entire journey of the earth, of the children of Israel. And that's what's hard to follow because, see, you're only talking about, and you don't get no point today, get this point. You're only talking about dealing with Israel. Alright? So God dealt with Israel up to Calvary. Right? Now you got a little overlaps because Brother Brown said he could still be, he was going on dealing with Israel a little bit over through there, and then Titus came in. Now, don't ask me to explain that, that's just what he said. Alright, but see, then, there's a big vast gap called the church ages, or the Gentile dispensation. And then it'll pick back up after we leave out of here. So it's only dealing with what time God is dealing with Israel in their journey upon the earth, because during that period of time he was not dealing with them. There was no salvation to Israel as a nation. Now, individuals could come into the body of Christ, and did, and have, because on the day of Pentecost it was all Jews. Then you pick up over in Peter taking the message to the Gentiles. So then there's Jews in this dispensation, but it was called on the day of Pentecost. It started out in not a Jewish dispensation. It started as a Gentile dispensation, which would mean everybody, all the nations could come in. All right. But see, then it'll wind up in the end time. God will go back to deal with Israel as a nation. Now that's got to be divided, because he only deals with 144,000. And you got to call that the nation. Now we'll get to some catches in just a minute that you got to cover, because there's no other way to understand. Because God does deal with Israel as a nation. And the millennial reign is to Israel the nation. All right? Because it's not Gentile. We're there on just a honeymoon. It's not to us. All right? But he shows the entire destination. Even the prophet said, unto the consummation, of the whole thing in the journey. All right? Now, I brought these today so you can follow in the book, or you can follow, I gave you the page, give you some of the things. And I did find one more. I've told you I would announce this every service. There's about three different books put out by Brother, one by Brother Mamlis, and the one is a kind of an updated version put out by the Voice of God Recordings, and another one is the old original. And as far as I know, the paragraph numbers are the same, and that's why I give it to you that way. And to people on the air that's hearing it or something, I want them to understand. But now when you go to the computer, I find that in the computer, maybe sometimes they do not give you the exact paragraph, but they'll give you, like the first quote I'm going to give you is paragraph 50 out of the book. But on the computer, where you're running up with the computer systems, you'll find that 49 is where it starts. And I'm trying to instruct this to where somebody won't come along, well, where did he get that at? I can't find it, And that way, at least you can find what I'm talking about, because I want you to read it. But 49 and 50 is compressed together, and really you go from like 49 to 52 in the computer, because it doesn't even give you the other paragraphs. All right, so I'm just doing that to instruct you to where you won't misunderstand. So listen to what the prophet had to say now on the 70 weeks of Daniel. Now this is on the 70th week in the book, which is the last message there. But it's paragraph 49 and 50. Now today, we are approaching what is the 70 weeks. And this is a vital part, the 70 weeks. Now we know that the scriptures cannot lie. They have to be true. And if this angel Gabriel come and told Daniel that there was only 70 weeks left for the Jews, now we would apply that to 6 days or 7 day week. That's the way we do it. You can't figure it out. But in prophecy, it's always give in parables. Now, always give in parables, because watch in a few minutes now, we're going to get back down to it in a little bit, because this is actually sealed up back there. Now, we'll get to it in the scripture in a minute, because it's sealed up back there. But to be revealed down here, who to? The bride. The bride gets the revelation in the entire book, right? The book is actually Jewish. Our roots are Jewish. Right? But we are the bride of Christ, and we get the love letter of the whole story, or the revelation of the book, before anyone else even gets, before the Jews even know what's going on. They don't even know what tribe they are of now. But we know how many tribes is going to be there. We know what's going to happen. Because God reveals to us the revelation of His Word. All right? Now, what's the point of what I'm getting out of it? Keep saying to you that it's a parable. He said prophecy is always given a parable. Right? See, then only Daniel Now listen, only Daniel knew what was being said. None of the rest of Israel knew what was being said. They don't know anything about the thing, because before it could ever be taught to them or brought out into the open to them to understand, you know, even though it was pinned down, they still couldn't understand it because it was sealed up immediately. And Daniel, being a prophet, was the only one that could understand back there. Now then, we, as I said, we Gentiles, we the bride of Christ, we get the full revelation of redemption and revealed to us, even to Israel and to ourselves, or even to the millennium and what's going to take place, and all the way into the future home. Why? Because God sent us a prophet. And we'll read in a minute where the prophet said it was to be revealed in the end time. Right. Now, so it's revealed to the bride. Then it'll be made known to Israel. But it's not made known to Israel just because it's made known to the bride. You see why? We've got to depend upon the fact that Brother Branham was a prophet. I'm not just trying to prove that he was a prophet. I mean, people spend lengthy sermons, and that's all right, I don't have any problem with trying to prove Brother Branham was a prophet. But why don't they prove it that way? Why don't they show what he taught as a revelation to us? What he brought to us by revelation proves he was a prophet. And then you don't have to worry and argue with everybody in the world about whether he was or not. You know. I mean, somebody, you tell, you know, tell somebody about a prophet being sent in the end time, and they say, well, we don't believe in prophets. Well, that's the very thing that Brother Branham, when we get over this afternoon, he said, this man saying, said he didn't believe that there was any prophets. He said, well, what about all the Bible? You know, the prophets that were in the Bible. But yet, see, we don't believe in prophets. See, the Baptists, we'd take an evangelist and a pastor and maybe a teacher, but we didn't agree with prophets and, you know, apostles. That was contrary. We didn't need that anymore. We already had all the other things, you know. But listen, church, see, only, my point is, without Brother Branham, there's no way to understand the plan of redemption. He said, well, we knew all about it. I'm talking about the full plan of redemption. I'm talking about for body, spirit, and soul. I've taught you over and over how that the apostles put in the Bible there. You know, they put the revelation of the redemption of the soul and how to control the spirit and the sanctification and things. But they never put in there the redemption of the body. See, then you're going to go out of here without a complete unit. Now we've got to depend upon God sent a prophet. But then my point is, we got to depend upon what he said. Now if he says the bride goes up in Revelation 4:1 and is not seen until 1921, when it's coming back in the millennium, we have to believe that. But see, you quote that to me. But what about Revelation 10:7? Well, what about it? What about it? You gonna put us over that? Now the key is where it says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, brought John's understanding all the way back over to 3:14. Into the church ages, that he'd be able to get the message to the rest of the world, because there would be a Gentile prophet. And see, then that way, Brother Brown's message is what's going to Israel. So he said, I believe I'll have something to do with the gospel going to Israel. It will be. It'll be his message. Or it's the message of redemption. Now they won't go over and preach Brother Branham was a prophet. You know what I'm saying? They'll go over and tell them how they missed what they were supposed to receive, and that God had sent a prophet, and a Gentile bride had become ready for a rapture and went out of here, and now they were in the time of Jacob's trouble, or the tribulation. See, because it's going to take a revelation. Because only Brother Branham could read and understand the book of Daniel. But yet everybody wants to correct everything. Everybody wants to say he was right here but wrong here. Now, I don't believe that. I believe he taught the Bible correctly. I believe you and I are the one that missed the understanding of it. But see, that, oh no, we understand. All right? Only the prophet, that's why nobody couldn't figure it out. Now watch, we get through this part. See, it was sealed up back there. Immediately was sealed up. Then there was nobody down through time could understand that. I don't care how smart the intellectual people were, they came up with a 1919, made their wings, went up on a mountain. They've come up with all kind of dates and times and seasons to try to figure it all out. And you cannot figure out those dates and times. You've got to believe what the prophet said. He's totally dependent upon what he taught. Now, I don't say that just about Daniel's 70 weeks. I say it about the entire Bible myself. Sure, we understood a lot of things, but the complete revelation came to the end time prophet. Brother Dean and I were talking about it. I mentioned it the other night about, that there Moses, when Dathan and Korah come and said, you take too much upon yourself. Said, we're spiritual also. Moses didn't argue with them about them being spiritual. You know why? Because he'd already said, I would to God that all the children of Israel were prophets. Moses had done said that. He wanted them to be spiritual. He wanted them to be prophets. But go back and read your Bible real careful, because it never hit me until just a few days ago or a week or so ago what he was saying. Moses said, are you trying to take the priesthood? Now, they were already priests. What's he talking about? Wouldn't they priests? Didn't the 250 priests bring up their censers? Wouldn't he part of them? Wouldn't he of the tribe of Levi? But he said, you're trying to enter the priesthood. In other words, you're trying to take the high priest's position. That's what Moses was against, because there stood the high priest Aaron. And he said, you're trying to take Aaron's place. Well, automatically, by what? By trying to take Aaron's place, whose place was they trying to take? Who was the real high priest? Who was the real man that knowed how to get Israel to keep them out of trouble? It wasn't Aaron. Moses was the real high priest. Right? But he was talking about, you're trying to take Aaron's place. By trying to take Aaron's place, you're trying to take my place. He wanted it to be spiritual. See, that's why Brother Brown said people can't believe a one-man message. I know we believe it here, but I'm just saying that. That's what's wrong. People can't believe that what Brother Branham said is you've got to take it from there, no matter whether you understand it or what you have to do with it. There's things I studied on Brother Branham's message for 20 years when I had every quote, every scripture, and all the things written down. But just because he said it didn't mean I believed it. I believed it, but it hadn't been revealed to me. But then when he revealed it to me, I don't care where you bring your quotes from. Scriptures or whatever. Once he reveals it, then I know where I'm at. But until he reveals it, I don't know. And that's what's wrong with the people of the message. They don't know to put their confidence totally in a prophet. They bring in their own thoughts and ideas. And hey, the devil tries his best to do that with me also. I have to watch that real close. I have to watch it real close, because he'll try his best to bring it in to get me to say something that ain't right. So I have to depend upon the prophet's message to be able to say, he said it, then you can't argue about it. You might not believe it. Now I'm talking about on the air and everywhere else where this is going. You might not believe it, but you can't argue about what's said. There ain't never been one man ever come to me and said, Brother Dale, you didn't teach what Brother Branham said, because they know I give exactly the quote for it. I didn't say it until I read it from him. They can say, I don't understand what you're talking about. But they can't say that I didn't say what the prophet said. But now listen, church. Now we'll cover this more as we go along. about the prophet being the one that we must depend upon to be able to tell us of these things to Israel, of the journey of Israel. You know, because there's no way. See, if you take 490 years, which is what it says over there, you know, in Daniel, it's 490 years to Israel. You take that and try to put it anywhere. Look where you'd be, way back in the Old Testament, still trying to figure it out. So you've got to be able to divide it, and only a prophet could divide these things. All right. Now watch then. Because one of the key things you'll find out is that it was sealed up. Right. Look in Daniel where we just read. 24. And listen to what he says. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy. Where was it sealed? Where was it sealed? All right, drop over to Daniel 12. And at that time shall Michael, verse 1, stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation upon that, even to that same time. And at that time thy people will be delivered. Now he's talking about the tribulation period, right? Even everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn away turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. All right, now, Daniel, you're a prophet. Now watch it. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now Daniel says he was told to shut up the book. The book of Daniel is identically the entire Bible. Go study your prophecies and the things of the Medes and the Persians and the journey of Israel, and then how that he comes in by flattery, which is the Pope coming in and the United States coming into view, and the prosper, craft to prosper, and all the things. Look at it all around. It's the story. That's why it's called a book. He just didn't say seal up the six things. He said seal up the book. That's why when Brother Branham, I've got it in here, I'll read it in a minute. Yeah, it's paragraph 107. When Brother Branham comes to that, he says it's sealed up until this time. What's sealed up? The book. Not just Daniel 70 weeks. Right? The entire book is sealed until the end time. Right? That's why it's got to be, it's the dependence is upon the fact that God sent a prophet for it to be revealed to. He said it's sealed up until this end time. The book is sealed. We talk about it being sealed with the seven seals. And that's true. But Daniel wasn't even allowed to tell anybody about this because God put it on there. What do you call that thing today about the court order? You know, you go in and you got a gag order. You can't tell it. See, Daniel, seal up the book. Close this up, because one of the things is to seal up the vision. Don't just seal up just the vision of Israel. Seal up the entire book. He said, but Daniel didn't write all the Bible. No, but that verse said it. That verse said the book would be sealed. Now, was not it sealed until the prophet came? Even he thought he'd preach the seals and things. back in the 50s. But then it come to a fact that he seen the book was sealed. But yet now the book is open. Who to? The bride. It won't be open unto Israel until we get out of here. Why? Because the Bible says until the time their eyes are blinded. They can't see it. So the dependence is upon the fact of God sending us a prophet, and we better depend on that and realize it's what he said. All right. It's sealed up, as I said, paragraph 107, sealed up until this time. That's paragraph 107 of the sixfold purpose. All right. But the bride gets by way of the prophet the revelation. That's why in Revelation 3:14, into the angel of the church of Laodicea, right? And that has to be a prophet. Well, then it don't make no difference what we want to say. This don't sound right. That don't sound right. It's got to be what he said. All right? See, bring it and let's see what he said. All right? But after we are gone, you know, after the rapture of the bride, I'm trying to get over to a point now, so bear with me. God will make known to Israel his sixfold purpose. And they will see the six seals in the part of the natural story that they're to see. They'll see the man of sin sitting in the temple of God showing himself to be as God, because they'll see the Pope just done that. And they said to Brother Branham, that's the only question he got on the seal. He said, does that fulfill the first seal? He said, yes. Because those seals literally break to Israel in the tribulation. All right. In what is known as Jacob's trouble. All right. Now, Brother Branham, I give it to you, number three on what is the attraction. Preached in 1965, 0725 in the evening. God, you promised it'll be the same thing in this day. I pray that you'll confirm this word, and we'll deal right on that one promise there. That it will be like it was in Sodom, just before Sodom was burned and judgment struck Sodom, the Gentile world. So judgment is fixing to strike the Gentile world, and the Jews got 3.5 more years through the period of tribulation, Jacob's trouble. The continuing of the 70 weeks of Daniel, but the Gentiles are numbered, it's time to go. And you give that sign, and you said it would be a sign, granted, there. Grant it, God, that we're in your hands. Do with us as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, I gave it to you right down below there, but let's go to Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah 30. And let's read what it says in Jeremiah 30. Because it'll tie together with a very important part. We'll start reading about verse 6. Everybody got Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 6. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Now watch it. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But we shall be saved out of it. And watch verse 8. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. That's in the tribulation. Jacob's trouble, you hear the prophet talk about. Jacob's troubles is the tribulation period. All right. That's speaking of where the tribulation. But watch it go on further now. So listen. And you see the tribulation, and they're going to be set free. Israel is going to be set free in the tribulation. The 144,000, not all Israelites. Not all the whole thing, only 144,000. And they'll receive the message of Jesus Christ and see that they missed it. Page 498, I believe it is, sealed book. Brother Branham explains it right in there somewhere, where the message that you missed it, but the Gentiles received it. Now listen what he says. Watch where this goes to. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Now this is way after David. So he ain't going to raise up David. So what is that? That's the millennium. In the millennium, now I gave you a quote, so look at it. Number 4 on your notes. Page 4, marriage and divorce. Go down reading and then get down to the last part. Because it's Jesus Christ in spirit form in the sonship of God. For he was called Son of Man when he come first. Now he's called Son of God. In the millennium, he'd be Son of David. He comes Son of Man, a prophet, as was spoke of him. Now he's Son of God, supernatural. In the great millennium that is to come, he'll be Son of David, sitting on the throne of David. As all Bible readers know, that that's a divine promise with God to David. He'd raise up his son to sit on his throne. Now we just read here that David would be sitting on the throne. But the prophet said, who is that? That's Jesus Christ. Who is the Son of David? Jesus Christ. In the millennium, the Son of David will sit on the throne, which is Jesus Christ. But Jeremiah even says that in David their king, whom I'll raise up unto them. They said this is past David's time, way over. He's not going to raise David up and put him over them back there. That's a prophecy going all the way to the millennium, because Jacob's trouble comes in the tribulation. And then the millennium will take place. All right, now this will be very valuable to you later as we go along. All right? Now, God showed Israel, I'll give you the quotes and we'll give some more on it, but God showed Daniel the entire journey even to the millennium. Jeremiah knew of the tribulation, Jacob's troubles that would come, which would be the tribulation period. But he also knew a millennium was coming, because he said he's going to be King David's going to sit on the throne. So the prophet shows you that who is that? That's Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of David in the millennium to rule and reign, and we sit with him. But now watch what I'm getting to. Daniel is not just shown to Jacob's troubles. Daniel is shown all the way to the millennial reign is set up. That's where people miss the Daniel 70 weeks. They can't figure it out. They're going with their own ideas. Well, how can that be? Watch, we'll get in just a second. We'll get on something here. I've tried to cover it a little bit Wednesday night, but I figured I'd better cover this heavily because it's going to be misunderstood. Daniel is shown all the way to the millennial reign and the millennial temple to be erected on earth. Hey, I've been around, I've heard these doctrines. What do we need a temple in the millennium for? We're the temple. Well, when we do get on over that a little bit later about what that anointing is, what are you going to do, anoint yourself? Oh, smart aleck, Brother Dale. Might be the Holy Ghost. So listen. The temple that is to be built in the millennium. Well, I didn't know there was one. I didn't either until I read Brother Branham. Did you? I didn't know anything about it until I read him, so I'm dependent upon him. But I don't see what, I don't care what you don't see whether we need a temple in the millennium or not. I don't care what you think about it. If he said it, then I believe it. All right? Now we'll get to that in just a minute, try to see maybe why. Look at number 5 on your notes, which is from the sixfold purpose of Gabriel, which is paragraph 34. So it'd be paragraph 34, sixfold purpose to you that didn't get your paperwork. And we do understand that that city, which has now been a curse for 2,000 years, will be rebuilt and reestablished again, and temple worship will be set up just like it was in the beginning. That's right, Jerusalem will be, and there will be a sacrifice. Daily oblation offered again, just like it was in the beginning. We're going to get into most of that, I guess, tonight, or a lot of it. Now, you read Daniel and you read Jeremiah, and it'll speak of a daily sacrifice. Because you see, there's a lot to be covered. Remember, natural Israel, when we go into rapture, natural Israel will be reestablishing a temple. Natural Israel will be reestablishing a temple. And they'll go back to daily sacrifices. Because that's what they're waiting on now is the red heifer. And they'll go back to literally natural Israel now as a nation. When we leave out of here, they will go back and build a temple. I don't know how far they'll get with it, because how long would it take for them to build a temple? I don't know. It wouldn't take very long if they really throw everything they got into it. In 1 month, they could have a temple built. What they got today, they could build it in a hurry. But I'm just telling you what the story now. See, they'll go back. Natural Israel will go back to a temple and a daily sacrifice. All right? But the 144,000 won't. The 144,000 received Jesus Christ, the real sacrifice. So now you're dealing with two different groups of people. You're dealing with one group, which is Israel is a nation in the basis of all Israel. But then you're dealing with 144,000. The 144,000 will not go back to daily sacrifices because they'll see the real sacrifice. Now I'm trying to get you to see something. Why do you need a millennial temple? And it sounds exactly like you're going to daily sacrifices in the millennium. But remember, you can't go to daily sacrifices because there can't be nothing killed in the millennium. See, so now what do we need? We need a revelation. Natural Israel will rebuild the temple right here, but the spiritual Israel, which is 144,000, they won't go into that temple for worship. They'll go in there and tell them all about how wrong it is. That's what's going to get 144,000 of them killed. Plus the two witnesses, because they're going to tell them it's wrong to do that. They're going to try to tell them who the real sacrifice is. But you know Israel won't see it. Natural Israel won't see it. Because they're the ones that killed the 144,000. But in the millennium is Israel as a nation. let me just say this from the statement that Brother Branham made, just in case that it traps some of you and your thoughts run the wrong way, and you say, well, Brother Branham said they would go back to a temple, you know, a temple would be rebuilt, and they would go back to a daily sacrifice. You better catch the word he said. Because I just told you, we believe it, that they'll go back to a natural Israel will go back to a temple worship, right? But spiritual Israel won't. But it's a little key in what Brother Brown said there, and I just read it to you. He said they'll go back like in the beginning. Now, when you think beginning, you're thinking about Moses and the sacrifice that was made. And that's what Israel will do. In the tribulation, Israel will go back to offering what Moses described. But spiritual Israel, the 144,000, won't go back to that. They go to the real atonement. So could the prophet be saying, like in the beginning? Do you know that in God in the beginning, there was never to have been a death? Right? What if back before the world, God could have had this thing to where it could have been done without death? That would have been back in the beginning. So then your offering and sacrifices wouldn't be shedding of the blood of bulls and goats. It would have been recognizing the real atonement. That's where Jesus stood as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. I'm just giving you that, let you think, so that if people come along, they've got their little smart aleck ideas, you know. Because they'll say, Brother Dale, you said a while ago, you got to say exactly what the prophet said. Now say it. I did. I said exactly what he said. Right? Leaving it up to you. Because listen. Listen to what the prophet had to say, number five. All right? The city would be rebuilt. Now we know the city will be rebuilt. The temple is being rebuilt. The city is being rebuilt now. The temple is ready to be rebuilt. All you got to do is get that Mosque of Omar out of the way, and one little old bomb will take care of that. They don't want to annihilate the place. They just want to go back and clean it off. And they want to start, because I've been down under there and seen a 30-something foot stone that they say is the cornerstone. Brother Tatum's been there. Brother Dean and us went down through there. They said, this is the cornerstone of it. It's like a 30-foot stone. It's not just one little old block of wood, of stone. See, they know exactly where to put everything. And they can get into a hurry on doing it. Now let's go to paragraph 119 of the same one, which is the sixfold purpose of Gabriel, paragraph 119. Now we're going to read this other later, so I'm leaving out a part now. I'm telling you where you won't come up and read and say, well, this, I'm leaving out a part or a purpose to cover it later. So we'll just take this paragraph. Now watch. Description of the temple that is to be built in the millennium. Now he's talking about a temple to be built in the millennium. And any reader that knows that from Ezekiel, the 40th chapter. Now, how many of you have read from the 40th chapter of Ezekiel to the 44th chapter of Ezekiel? How many of you have read it to just see what it says? I've done made statements about it. Have you read it to see what it says? You'll find out Brother Brown knows exactly what he's talking about. So listen to what he says now. Any reader that knows from Ezekiel, the 40th chapter, until the 44th chapter is nothing in the world but the millennium temple being erected on earth. Anyone knows that when the glory of the Lord fills it. Go back and read Ezekiel and see if the glory of the Lord doesn't fill that temple. That's what I'm asking you to read Ezekiel 40 to 44. The glory of the Lord filled it and so forth. Now we're going to just describe the temple in 43rd chapter in the first verse to the 6th. And then he starts describing the gates and the things and reading the scripture. But do you understand what he's saying? From Ezekiel 40 to 44 is the Millennium Temple being erected on earth. Now, if I don't get anything else to you, I want to get one point to you. Let's go back to Daniel 9:24. Because I want you to get one point. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. And watch. And upon thy holy city. The 70 weeks is not just determined upon the people. It's determined upon the people and the holy city. Now you got to bring the city into view. I mentioned this Wednesday night, so I figured I better put it right here and cover it. You say, but why do we need a millennium temple when Jesus is the temple? All right. Brother Branham, I really want to get down to it in a minute, but 419 of the sixth seal, church in the seal book, 419, he says the millennium is Israel as a nation. And then I'll give you a quote in a minute if I have time. He said, Dan and Ephraim will be put back in. That's in the church age book and the seal book. But Dan and Ephraim, remember, were taken out because of the golden calves, because they went after him and worshipped him. But they will be put back in the millennium. So in the millennium, it's not going to be just 12 tribes listed as 12. You're going to have to deal with Dan and Ephraim. Because the prophet, your prophet, said they would be put back in tribal order in the millennium. So there is 24,000 people that know nothing about Jesus. Are you listening? Are you listening to what I'm saying? There's 24,000 people that know nothing about Jesus. They haven't even heard the message of Jesus, brother. The 144,000 will be there, listing as each one of those, with Dan and Ephraim missing, and Joseph and Levi placed in, which originally should have been 13 tribes, the prophet said. The Levite was to never have a tribe or even an inheritance. Moses, you remember, told him, said, well, they said, well, what will be our inheritance, the Levite? He said, God is your inheritance. That's why I don't need your money. God is my inheritance. All I need is somebody to listen. God is my inheritance. Why? Because that priesthood gets that right of the inheritance before the people gets to it. I don't want, like the prophet, you think he's just, he said, I don't want a big mansion in glory. He said, you hear him over on the hillside in a little old log cabin. He wasn't trying to be sincere. He knew what his inheritance was. His inheritance was Jesus Christ. The Levites was never to have had an inheritance. But Israel, when they entered Dan and Ephraim, went after the golden calves, they had to be taken out. And when they did, Joseph and Levi was placed in to make it back and put it 12. And when it did, Israel is going to be restored. Read that part in the seal book right about around 400 to 419 and right through there. Read it where it's Israel to be restored in the millennium. Read the church age book. I'll be glad to find that for you, where he talks about how the names are blotted out. It's about 288, somewhere right in there, the church age book. How names are blotted out. And he said Dan and Ephraim is blotted out. But said they're not blotted out. Said the Bible said blot them out under heaven. He said Dan and Ephraim are not blotted out in glory. Said they're blotted out under heaven. And he said when the millennium comes, it'll be heaven on earth. And when it does, Dan and Ephraim will come back in. Now I'm trying to get a little simple point to you. Why do you need a millennium temple? There's not going to be daily sacrifices in the millennial temple of killing the animals. We're not going to be there to just rule and reign. There's going to be a lot of preaching going on in the millennium. Because a lot of those people don't know about Jesus. I gave you 24,000, Dan and Ephraim is enough. But that 144,000 don't understand Jesus like we do. Because it'll only make them servants. It won't make them sons and daughters of a living God when they receive the Holy Ghost in the tribulation period. Because they reject that right of sonship. But they come up over there, and we got a lot of explaining to do. Well, what's the problem with going in the temple to do it? What's the problem with God laying the temple in order and saying, look, now explain what all these stones mean. Tell those people what it is. How all those stones represented me. All that washing of the pots and the pans, all that represented me. And so all that daily sacrifice represented me. All that washing, all that doing represented me. Like I've always said about Paul. You remember Paul, when he come into the New Testament, he's already born again Christian. But they said one day, Paul, these people think you got something contrary to the law. So go out here with these men that we've got that's already made a vow. Shave your head and go with them. He shaved his head. Because that was what they was to do. They was to go in and shave their head and do certain things for so many days. Then they were to go offer a sacrifice. Do you think Paul would ever got to offer that daily sacrifice? No. Because once they come in and them others started offering, he said, let me tell you what that sacrifice is. He never made it there because the devil knowed he wouldn't. He'd already preached too much about Jesus to them. They didn't let him finish his vow out. He wasn't going to go offer no sacrifice. Paul wasn't going to take no lamb and lay it down, put his hands on it, do nothing like that. No, sir. He would immediately stop and he just said, your lamb, brother, let me explain. That's Jesus Christ. Because you see, we'll never go to offering daily sacrifices in the millennium. Because that would be death to kill the animals. But what is wrong with explaining to them what it's all about? And what would be the problem? Because the Bible said they'd be a millennium. Where? Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all of them spoke of a millennial temple. Isaiah spoke of a millennial temple. A holy city. But then they'll see the real Jesus. They'll see the real Jesus. God promised David that his son would sit on his throne. We know who that is, Jesus Christ. But you know what? We'll be on the throne with him. Now, if there's going to be a throne there, why can't there be a temple there? See, we get our minds locked to where our denominational ideas, remember the other night? The prophet said you're Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, something like that. He said your denominational ideas. And that's why we've been 40 years in the wilderness since the prophet left the scene, because of denominational ideas. We'll have a temple worship. We'll have a temple worship, but not an offering of sheep and goats. And those that don't know about Jesus will be told about him. Even the heathen will be raised up in the millennium. That's your prophet's word, page, I believe it's 14 church age book. Heathen will be raised up in the millennium, and we'll have somebody to preach to. Well, what'd be wrong with going to the temple to do it? You're not going backward. You're only bringing it down to show the real. church. Page 554, Brother Branham gets on the seventh seal and describes Dan and Ephraim being put back in the millennial order. I may have given it the other one. Let's see, I gave it as 419. But it, 419 of the seal books where it says Israel will be as a nation in the millennium. But that's what it'll be. See, the millennium is not to me and you. That's just a honeymoon time for me and you. The millennium is back to Israel as a nation. They'll have their own time upon the earth because it was promised to them. Right? It was promised to them. Why do we need a millennial temple? Because God promised it. God said it. Why can't we believe it? Yes, but Brother Dale, we don't need it. We're the temple of the Lord. Well, we're the temple right now. But there's a new city coming down. Oh. And like I said, in the millennium, are you going to anoint your own self? We'll get to it this evening. We have time. The prophet said the anointing to the temple is the bride when she rides back in. Are we going to ride back into ourselves and anoint ourselves? See, what's wrong with having a temple? We have a cross. Does the Catholic have an option on the cross that we can't put one in our home or our church or something? They don't know what the real cross is, do they? See, church, why can't we see? Israel has a time of making known to them the true Messiah, and that's in the millennium. In the millennium, there'll be Israel as a nation. The Bible says they have to go in and out, but it doesn't say anything about the bride having to go in and out. But they have to go in and out because it's to the nations. They go into the city in the millennium and they pull a leaf off the tree for the healing of the nation. How many scriptures? See, I could be 6 months preaching, then Brother Ding Dong, like not. I could preach on this right here, just that one thing of what we're on the millennium temple and the tabernacle. I could preach probably 2 or 3 years off of that. But I'm trying to break it down. You think I'm dragging. And sometimes I do too. But I come to realize that, hey, I could preach for years off of go tying every scripture in the Bible together. Because it was a promise to David that he would sit, his son would sit on his throne, and Jesus is going to sit on a throne in the millennium. Well, why can't you put the throne in the temple? Why can't you have the real city of Jerusalem to be there? But then one day, the real one's going to come out of heaven. In the future home, he's going to come down out of heaven. And there it can't be separated from the description of the bride and the city. But they will be a city. They will be a city. Why can't you see there'll be a city in the millennium? Why can't you see there'll be a gospel to the heathen in the millennium? Won't you put together all the things the prophet said? But see, then you don't have to kill the animals. It's not a killing of atonement like that. The prophet even described it in Feast of the Trumpets. He said it's not a killing, but it's a mourning for the kill. When they say, where did you get the in the tribulation? When they say, where did you get the nail prints in your hand, which is made known to them by the two witnesses? He said, in the house of my friends. He said, they separate for days and mourn. Because they know they rejected the Messiah. But then He gives them eternal life. And they get to go in the millennial reign to be with us. What do you think about it? In the millennium will be a temple because Daniel 9:24 says, upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Be a wonderful thing to see. and I'll give you a key. It's going to be built before we get back. Because we're the anointing to the temple. Now then you tell me that you can't figure out Daniel 70 weeks. When we'll prove this afternoon by your prophet that there's 490 years and bringing in the millennium and the temple is done by the Jews before we get here. You see, everybody's got it all figured out. Brother Dale, you're in the class with old so-and-so up yonder. You can't help being put in a class. You know. But it might be like one man said to me one day. He said, you're Samuel Dale. I said, yes, sir. He said, I was talking to a man just about you just the other day. You know what? Said you preach just like Brother Dale does about the seed. And before he could explain what he taught about the seed, or what the man said Brother Dale taught about the seed, I told him what I believed about it. That it was the seed of representation of predestination. And it wasn't a literal seed put in you. But it was a seed of representation of predestination. Because if it was a literal seed put in you, why did Jesus have to come and die? And all the brothers that were standing around, I said, is that right, brothers? And they all said, amen, except the one I was talking to. So I found out immediately the man wasn't preaching what I was because he turned and left. And he never said another word to me about us preaching the same thing. Because you see, he admitted that he wasn't preaching what I was. But that's how easy everybody can misunderstand. Just because you say seed. See, I believe everything the prophet said about the seed. I just believe it needs to be placed. I believe all he said about Daniel 70 weeks, but I just believe it needs to be placed. And Sister Meade said, Bill, how in the world are we going to get that? He said, God will make a way. Well, I believe he'll make a way if we're sincere. And believe it. Let's stand. Come on, Brother Dick. The entire journey of Israel. You can't start it and just run it straight through. There's a vast gap of about 2,000 years between the time of Israel that God quits dealing with them. And then when we come in as a Gentile dispensation, it's almost 2,000 years, and when it does, then God will return to Israel to continue His 490 years that He promised. Because you've got to admit that. But have you ever thought about it to put this together? Why is it 490 years? Well, it's called a visit. When Jesus was there, they asked him, how many times do we forgive? Is that right? They asked Jesus, they said, we forgive this person over and over and over and over, in other words. How many times should we forgive him? What did he say? 7 times 70. Or either way, it says 70 times 7. Which way, you know. Because everybody wants you to be, here. But it turned out to be 490 years. Because that's exactly what he's going to give Israel. It's 490 years. But it's not 490 years that you're dealing with. It's forgiveness. Forgiveness. He's going to make an end of sin. He's going to bring in everlasting righteousness. But he's already sealed up the vision. But it is to be revealed to us. Go ahead, brother. 35 in the spiral book. Anybody have a need? Well, see, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about, even like in the millennium. We're going to be there with Him. And there ain't going to be no daily sacrifice of animals to kill them and things, but it'll be explained. Explain what all these things meant. Don't you think Paul's going to be very valuable? Paul's going to be very valuable to the children of Israel. He tried to take the Old Testament and explain it to them. He used their own writing to explain it. But they couldn't understand. But see, one day the scales will come off their eyes and they'll look and see. And they'll see who He really is. Love lifted me.
All my heart
to Him I give. Ever to Him I cling. In His blessed presence live. Ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true. Merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to Him belong. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. As we sing the lights, anybody have a need? Look up, Jesus completely saved. He will lift you by His love out of the angry. Put another picture on the altar. All right. Let's bleed. Our little buddy needs a lot of prayer, so we put another one up here.
Be saved today.
Love lifted me. Did it. Love, you're dismissed. Remember the service this afternoon. When nothing else could happen. Love lifted me, oh love lifted me. Love lifted me. Nothing else could have. Love lifted me.